talk about it all the time with, like, you know, the glamour of, like, shattering the glass ceiling, mm-hmm. right? So people want to attribute that to me, too, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you're just out here just shattering and doing this and doing that. And I'm like, yeah, but have you actually thought about what that means? It's painful.
Right.
And you have to heal from that. And you have to figure out how to not be afraid of the next ceiling. Mm-hmm. Because don't think that you shattered one and that there's not more.
And then you just walk into an open house.
Look, that's a whole myth.
Well,
you think there's one glass ceiling?
The ceiling comes back the next morning.
Honey, let me tell you. Yes. There's more than one glass ceiling.
Hello, all, and welcome to Marsha, 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 the podcast. I'm your host, Marsha Molinari. And you are here listening to the podcast that brings true and heartfelt human connection. I believe if you don't know about it, you can't care about it. And that's why we're here today.
Uh-huh. Everyone, welcome back to the podcast, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I am sitting with a goddess. She is a Hall of Fame inducted marketing executive, author, and entrepreneur, who is worthy of the Harvard Business School case study written about her career titled Leading with Authenticity and Urgency. Her career speaks for itself. The current global CMO of Netflix, CMO of Endeavor, CBO of Uber, head of marketing of Apple Music and iTunes. I can't wait to get to this. And head of music at entertainment marketing at PepsiCo. Mm-hmm. The Hollywood Reporter, Entertainment Power 100, crowned as the world's most influential CMO by Forbes. I don't even know. I don't even know what those words I just read off meant. Like, honestly, okay, because it's like one person getting one of these things. Mm. Is a lifetime. So the multiple lifetimes that are surrounding this whole bet is wild to me. And yes, your awards will keep us here all day. We do have a limited time. She is a supernova and a goddess, and I'm so happy to welcome her to Marsha, 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 Bose St. John.
Yay, thank you. Here.
I'm so glad to have you here.
Yes.
Well, I want to talk about the first time, the power that I'm sure people have told you, the essence that you carry with you.
Mm.
Because we were in cold Switzerland for the Davos.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're at the World Economics Forum, and I'm getting out of this car, and it's just snow surrounding us all around, and predominantly just really white businessmen, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that was that's their hookup.
Yes.
And you get out of the car and I'm like, I'm with my friend Jordan Fudge and I'm like, who is that? And he had the craziest smirk on his face. Like he had a secret that he knew I wanted to know about. He goes, oh, you don't know Bose?
Mm.
And I said, new? Like explain everything immediately.
I'm asking you, yes.
And then that's when he brought you over. And then there was something, right?
I know. Yeah.
Like we were like.
It was instant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. We saw each other right away.
We connected.
Yeah.
And I just like, I think about that all the time. And then we stay connected. Mm. And we don't get to see each other often because, you know, life is what it is.
Yes.
But when we're together again, just like when you walked in today,
it's like no time has even passed, right?
I mean, between
it's like
our
the instant.
Even our clothes.
Our clothes, the song we started singing together, the little shimmy of the shoulder because they're
our bags,
out.
Yeah.
Our bags, like how?
I mean, just all together. I mean,
it's amazing.
We're just on that same universal pulse,
yes,
I think,
yes,
you know,
yes,
is what
I
it
agree.
Is.
I agree.
I also want to talk about one of that you've said your greatest achievement, which is your daughter, right?
Yes, Lael? That's my boo.
Yes.
Woo!
Oh, and I mention when I see your pictures, you take her to the most beautiful places, and I'm such a believer in what's bigger than education in certain ways is traveling.
Yes.
Seeing other people's cultures, experience people in their, you know, surrounding areas and whatever
being
that
immersed.
And I think that that's the education that, you know, that is very important and people forget about. Speaking of, how was Dubai?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
I mean,
so I have been before.
Yeah.
I took my mother a few years ago and I've been for work and other things. And, you know, Lael is, she's just a dope human.
Right. No, I know. Like, I've met her.
She really is. And it's like, I know I probably sound biased because I'm her mother, but like, look, I don't like all little kids. Right. I don't mind saying that, you know?
And that's okay, because I also know that some parents, they just don't get along with their kids. Right. It's
the way it is.
I did not spend very much time with my mother, honestly.
And the thing is that like relationships between parents and kids are like any other relationships. It's like you just have two humans who either click and get along or don't.
Right. And that's what it is.
And then sometimes it's just like tepid. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because you're just sort of forcing this relationship. You don't hate the person. You don't really like them either. You're just kind of there.
No, it's true. But
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
She's like a dope person. And we enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, you have to, because else you wouldn't want any parent can do any which way they decide, but you choose to bring her with you and experience all these things that you're experiencing.
That's right. I felt it from the very start. You know, I had a really difficult pregnancy with her. I had, you know, the long story is that I had been pregnant a year before. Thank you, darling. And I had given birth early. Prematurely, at 7 months. Were you?
Yeah, 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
so. One thing my mom always does will say is that you can do anything you want because you weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to be here. Look, because my little 7 month pregnant baby didn't make it.
Yeah, you know? So 6 months.
And so, and then the next year
that
I was
just
pregnant
gives
with
me
Layla.
More of a...
Oh, no, you, like, you are a whole miracle
take the
walking
space,
around.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, you are a complete miracle.
Yeah.
Okay? And Layla was also preemie.
Okay. You know?
And so when she came, I was terrified. Obviously, I'd already been through trauma.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I was just like,
trauma.
Wait, what? Like, I can't lose a second one in the span of it. Like, it's just, it's not possible for me.
No.
You know? My spirit wouldn't have been able to take it. And I prayed fervently because, you know, God is my homie.
Yeah.
And it's turbulent sometimes, but, you know, we have a good relationship.
Right.
And I came in one morning because at the time, you know, when you're the mom of a preemie, they actually don't let you stay 24 hours a day. They force you to go home.
Go home, yeah.
Which is such torture,
you know?
And so I'd gone home at midnight and I would, you know, you let back in at 6 a.m. and I was right there waiting. She had jaundice, so they had the UV lights on her or whatnot. And she was like naked and under the lights. And, you know, they put these little glasses on her, right, when I left in the night. So I come in the morning, they open the door, I go flying in, you know, to her little incubator. And the glasses are off somewhere, and homegirl's just staring up into the light. And I start screaming. I'm like, oh, my God, my baby. Who's watching her? You know, like,
for real.
Come help me. And so the nurse comes running over and she's just like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Like, it's not going to hurt her. But also know that she tears the things off every time we put it on her face. Mm. And I was like, what? And so she's like, watch. So she opens the thing. Right. Yeah. She opens the incubator. And Layelle's like, she's a tiny little thing.
Probably the size of your hand.
Oh, and translucent.
Right.
Like, I can see everything going on. Right. You know what I mean? And so she puts the little glasses on her. And without like a moment's blink, Layelle just... rips them off her face.
She said no.
Flings them.
Right.
And then stares back into the light.
Right.
And the nurse was like, you have a little fighter on your hands. And I was like, wow. That's my girl.
Yeah, that's her.
Warrior. Yeah. You know?
Look at her.
And literally from the moment I was like, yeah. This is the kind of spirit, you know? Like, I come from a matrilineal society. Mm. Like, you know, the women are the warriors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, this is the spirit. Like, I need you to have this.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad
and it
you
was
do.
There.
And so, like, we're just kindred, you know? And even as she's grown up, she's an artist and a creative. And although I lean towards that as well, she's far beyond me, you know?
Right.
And so we just enjoy each other.
I mean,
so
for
Dubai,
her as your guide, I don't even know.
Yeah. So Dubai was a culmination of, you know, gifts, essentially, because... Every year on her birthday, since then, since the very beginning, I have decided that, you know, I don't give birthday presents. I don't do that thing.
Right.
I barely have birthday parties unless it's a significant, you know, like 13, I had a birthday party. But my gift is travel. We go somewhere. And she's allowed to choose where we go. And so my job is to prepare for that moment when she says the place she wants to go and then take her. Right?
Did she decide on Dubai?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And she always has to have a reason. You know, there's like a thing where it's like, hey, look, so what, you know, where do you want to go? And why do you want to go there? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like when she was 10, she wanted to go to Scotland.
Right.
And I was like, all right, what is the reason? Why are we going to Scotland?
I love what is and the reason.
Yes. What is the reason, girl?
That's
tell me.
That's your new book title. What is the reason?
What is the reason?
What is the reason? Tell her.
And she makes a little presentation. Mm-hmm. So she was like, because it is the only country on earth where the national animal is a unicorn. Excuse me. Look. And it is real. That is a real thing. And I sat there and I was like, no, that can't be true. She was like, yes,
I'm going to
true.
Scotland this year for the first time.
Their national animal is the unicorn. And I thought to myself, I was like, what group of white men got together and decided that the unicorn was going to be their national? It wasn't the bear.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a wolf. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an eagle.
I think spirit came through that.
They said, absolutely. They said, you know what? We're going to be represented by you. We submit the unicorn.
If anyone's going to notice us, we need something
special. That's correct.
Special.
Yes. Everybody's like, oh, Ireland, what's your animal? Give the wolf.
Yeah.
You know, England, what's your, we have a boar. And they're like, Scotland, you, the unicorn.
Unicorn, boom. Bring
you
it out. Do you have one?
Look. But it was magic. So we went, we explored all the unicorn things. We went to castles. We did all the things. And so this year, Dubai,
was it
she wanted to see the world's largest flower garden.
Wow.
Which, obviously, they have.
Wow, of course.
And it was spec-fucking-tacular.
Wow. You know, I went to Dubai, and I mean, there's so many beautiful things there. And
gosh,
it's
yes.
Wild to think how, you know, all of that's kind of made there.
Oh, I know.
You know, my friend worked on, like, this massive VR, like, roller coaster theme park in the mall that's ginormous.
Yes, yes, yes. The one with the ski slope and stuff.
That
yes.
one. And he said the amount of money and resources they have there is
yes,
so amazing.
It's incredible.
Wait, I want to go back to first noticing Lael's spirit.
Oh.
And it made me think of you as a child.
Oh.
And
yes.
Is that, did you have a fighter spirit? Because, you know, today we want to talk about, you know, fighting for your rights.
Yes,
you know, fighting
yes.
for being treated right, fighting for your position.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sometimes is a fight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when
yeah.
it shouldn't be in other cases.
That's a good
cases.
Question. That's a really
where,
good question.
You know, where did Bose first, like, Where do you remember speaking out, like as a child?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know? Well, I think, you know, there's various ways of being a fighter, right? There's like the pugilist.
Right.
And I'm the eldest of four girls.
Yeah.
We're all very close in age. But I was the one who's like, you know, when somebody like says something mean to one of my sisters, they said, wait till I get my big sister on
right.
you. And then they come get me like, dang, God, I don't have the,
right.
God.
Everyone's
you know, I'd be
fight.
Like, fine.
Everyone's
you know, I'm,
fight.
Yeah. So I gotta go fight the person who said the thing.
Yes.
So that was that.
I had a sister
okay?
like
that was that,
too.
That was that my thing. And then there was the fight of, you know, moving around a lot when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And right. having
Same.
To constantly reestablish myself in different environments. And so that meant if somebody mispronounced my name, I had to correct them.
Right.
You know? And
right.
I had to learn that early. Right? Because,
yeah.
like, look, a lot of people will be like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to, like, make
Yeah,
it,
just let them
you know,
say
just
whatever.
Just let them call me anything you want.
And, you're like,
and then,
I
you know,
can't go through another 6 months like this.
No. I was like, you know, first day, I'd be like, no, it's this. And then they say, wrong the next. No, I said it was Bose.
Yeah.
Not Boz.
Yeah.
Not, no, it's Bose. You know? And then it's so it's like the constant having to speak up for myself, even in my name,
yeah.
I think taught me the balance of like trying to be, you know, representing myself,
yeah.
even when somebody didn't see me or didn't care to remember it.
Yeah.
And then I think the real inflection point was actually when I was 12 and we moved to the U.S.
I was going
to
say, tell me about 12.
Yes.
That's wild.
And I, you know, we moved from Ghana to Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wow.
Okay, like straight away, it was
right.
October. It was just about to get cold. Football
right.
season was in full swing. I didn't know what the fuck was going on, okay?
Seriously.
And yeah, and I show up and I've got my long braids and, you know, I'm already tall and like super skinny. Like I was just like, you know,
yeah.
all of the things that you don't want to be when you are different from everybody else.
That's yeah, true.
And on top of that, being African,
in
a place where people were pretty homogenous and didn't travel a lot and
right.
didn't know a lot of anything else, also coupled with the fact that, you know, UNICEF and World Aid and mm-hmm. Sally Struthers and all these other people were telling everybody that African children were worth one penny. No. And giving them their pictures and putting it on their fridge. And every time they would go home and open that fridge, they would see that 1 cent that mm-hmm. was attributed to that African child. So I show up.
I got it. I brought it all back around. I remember that.
And you think I am worth less than you.
Right.
And you can't even pronounce my name.
That caste system.
And then you're like, oh, you must eat monkeys.
Mm-mm.
Did you have clothes before you came here? All the ignorance is coming through. So I had to also
fight as a child.
In that moment. Yeah. And it wasn't just the other kids. It was my teachers.
Yeah.
It was people at church.
Yeah.
It was folks at the grocery store. Look, I remember this one time. I don't think I've ever told this story publicly. But in any case, I was like at CVS or one of these, you know, Walgreens or mm-hmm. something like that. And it was just a few weeks after we had arrived. And my mom gave me some money. You know, we're like in the mall. She'd gone off to go do something. And so I was in charge of my sisters as usual. And we'd gone to Walgreens, and I was like, okay, I'm going to buy you some candy. You know, so we're in the aisle. Everybody picks their thing. But look, I had grown up in so many different cultures. I knew currency from a lot of different places. I just didn't know American currency.
Right.
So we get to the, and then I realized, I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't know how much this candy is and how much money I have. Like, is what I have enough to cover the thing?
Right.
I wasn't sure.
Right.
But
I
walked to the counter. I'm like, oh,
you would think.
The person will tell me, you know? So I walk up there and everybody puts their candy on and the cashier check, you know, rings it up and I slide her, whatever the nomination was. I don't even know. I can't remember. And she looks at me and she gives me like that look. You know, the one where you're just like the stupidest person on the planet.
Mm-mm.
She's like, that's not enough.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, then what do I need to take off? Because I don't have any more money. Okay, my mom is over there somewhere. So what do I need?
Well, first of all, my job began by shopping and bringing the items here. This is where your job begins.
This is where your job begins, ma'am.
Yeah, ma'am.
And this is a grown-up adult person, okay?
Right.
And so she's over here like rolling her eyes and under her breath, she's muttering how stupid Black people are. And why are we even allowed to be outside?
Okay.
And then, like, you know, I'm over here, obviously, with my very thick accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking her, like, I'm sorry? Like, pardon me? What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because remember, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go.
Right.
I don't care if you're an adult or
you're on alert.
First of all,
anyway,
I got my little sisters here. We about to go. What you want to do? What you want to do, ma'am?
Seriously.
What you want to do? You know?
I didn't hear you clearly.
And look, let's say it one more time. And she continues to mutter, and she takes off the things, you know, pushes me some change. And I saw the canister sitting, which was for the African children. And I'm looking at it and looking at my change, and she's looking at it and looking at me, and she's just like, you might want to help up the people who look just like you. And I look at her. And I was like, no, the people who look just like me.
I am so shook right now.
No, really. I was like, the people who look just like me are me.
Right.
And they don't just belong in this can.
Right.
And they're not just worth these little bits of money that you give me. I didn't even know what the denomination was called. But I was like, the little bits of money that you just gave me. And just then my mom walked in and she could tell there was tension. And she says, everything okay? And I was like, yes, everything is all right. But my mom could tell that something wasn't right. And she looked at the can. And she pulled out a crisp $100 bill and she put it in there. And then we walked out.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, to me, the idea that you constantly have to battle people's perceptions of you,
mm-hmm.
which have nothing to do with you, right?
Right.
Either because it has been programmed into society in a way that
that is very real. You know, people are programmed into thinking one thing
or
the other.
That's right. Having your own voice, having someone advocate for you, right? As I did my sisters.
Yeah.
Or having someone else advocate for you when you're doing all the advocating.
Right.
As in my mom who came in.
Yeah.
And so all of those lessons, I think, are the different ways that I have learned how to fight, you know, either with my fists.
Right.
Or with my
mind. Yeah.
Or just with my voice.
Yeah. That is so wonderful.
Like,
you know, I feel this same. There's so many similarities. I'm like, wow, you know, like from the moving around constantly. And that was me. my mom wasn't around a lot, so my sister and I just had to like deal with things, you know, on our own. Mm. And even to the point of like, you know, we were, I remember kind of always being, if I wanted something, I'm going to have to work for it.
Mm, yeah.
So at like 5 years old, I was selling Kool-Aid and sugar in packets.
You know what?
For 10 cents.
Okay.
So I already had a business there.
Look at you, entrepreneur.
By the time I was 12, I had boxes of candy in my backpack and was selling those.
You were selling that, yes.
And then I would do, had a babysitting business after that. Because I don't know where, I honestly am so just grateful for the awareness that I had of if you want something,
yes,
you're going to have to do it.
You're going to have to get it
right.
for yourself.
And it might take this much time, but let's start now.
Yes.
And I kind of always just like really, really felt that.
Yes. But isn't that so amazing though? Yeah. Sometimes I feel like there are these just drops of like something from the universe that gives it to you.
Right? Totally.
Because people have asked me all the time, they're like, how did you have that sense of like, you know, speaking up for yourself or speaking up for other people.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from? Where did you learn that? And you're I'm like,
well, there's there's a million stories that are, you know, things that go along with it and a journey.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think it's kind of in us, you know, we're all, I think, here to be each other's teachers. And even that experience.
Yeah.
She was your teacher in that moment.
Yes.
It was a hard course, but, you know, she was going to teach you that day.
And
you didn't
so
ask
many,
for.
There have been so many.
Yes.
Ooh, Lord. Yeah. There have been so many. Yeah. So many of these lessons.
What was it like, you know, when you presented, like, at the Apple?
Oh, God.
Like, and when it had been sort of a one type the whole time as presenters.
Mm.
You know, you know, actually, you know, it kind of gives me the same idea when I first started getting to watching TED Talks.
Oh, yes.
I never thought maybe even someone like me would be at that.
Right.
At a TED Talk. Because you'd only get glimpses of like the one type of person.
Yes.
And you kind of have the idea of what they were doing, maybe tech mostly.
Yes.
And there's a picture in your head of what that looks like.
Yeah.
So what happens that day?
Ooh.
You know?
Oh, gosh.
Because you know
so many
you're
going to
cause a ripple effect.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, it was like, oh, gosh. There was so much pressure.
Sure.
You know, there was so much pressure. I think that's what sometimes is missing. You know, people just see the glam and they're like, ooh, why did you decide to wear that dress?
And I'm
like,
you
don't understand what it took to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what I was facing.
Right.
Because, like, you know, Apple Music had already been introduced.
Yeah.
We'd already had a year one.
Yeah.
And that presentation didn't go well. Okay?
Yeah.
And the business was suffering. The design wasn't 100% great. We were in a rush to remake it. And then it was like year two. That was it. That was the second shot, which Apple doesn't usually give second shots.
Wow.
But that was the second shot. And if it failed again, we were all done.
Right.
Everybody was done.
That's the pressure.
And so I've got hundreds of engineers at my back. I've got Dre, I've got Jimmy, I've got Eddie Q, I have the spirit of Steve Jobs. I got everybody back there, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to present it in a way that's going to make people feel like they want to be a part of it, right? You've got the competition outside,
totally.
We're knocking at the door, and expectations at Apple are high because they don't fail, right? And so going into it, I knew that as a marketer, it was already an unusual choice because, you know, the engineers and the product folks are the ones who usually present because they have to speak in tech speak, right? And that's the way that the audience then believes them and then the stocks rise and everybody's happy.
Right.
And so being a marketer in the first place was already an odd thing. Even if I was a white person, white person, as a marketer, it would have been an odd choice.
Right.
And so you throw in the blackness. And you throw in the whole femness.
Yeah.
And now you got a whole different situation.
It's not even like that over there.
No.
Like fashion.
No. And all the rehearsals up to it, you know, some of the feedback was like, hey, you've got to remember that you got to draw people's attention to the big screen. Remember, they're not looking at you. They're looking at the screen. And I'm thinking, how the hell is that going to happen? And first of all, I'm going to look so different from everybody else. Of course they're going to look at me.
Right.
And I look fabulous.
Right.
So why shouldn't
they're
they?
They're going to look at me.
You know
what
I'm saying? Why shouldn't they? And then, you know all of the math about what works, the type of, you know, like the buzzwords, the things that are going to work with an audience. But I also knew that I couldn't do that. I tried though.
Right.
I really did. Like in all the rehearsals, I tried to speak like that. I tried to say the things the way that the other,
because who wants to fail?
But the thing is that, like, you know, again, it wasn't a simple choice. I don't want anyone at all to ever think that I just got up there. I was like, I'm just going to do me.
Right.
Because it's not that. It's like, it's hard.
Right.
You know, and it's scary because I know what it takes to win there.
Right.
I've seen it.
Right.
I've studied it.
Right.
And I don't want to be the reason why the things fail. So of course I'm going to try the things that are going to win. Of course I'm going to try.
Of course.
And so, yeah, I recorded myself saying the words that everybody else uses, and I would stumble over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I have never felt like more of a failure than I did in the days leading up to it. So the morning I woke up, of course I was throwing up.
Oh.
Of course I was shaking. I could barely put my makeup on because I was so scared. And so I get to the venue, and it is thousands of people. There are people lined up outside. I know there's 20 million on the...
And have you ever done anything like...
No.
Never. This is so grand.
Never. And so I'm there backstage. I'm shaking like a leaf. And also, the added pressure, the event. I know people think it's like all orchestrated, but no, the shit is live.
Yeah.
Okay? So whatever you push on that device that's in your hand is what's showing up on the screen. And nobody is back there to save you. There's not another device somewhere where somebody's just like, oh, don't worry. If you push the wrong button, we'll correct it in the back. No, they're going to let your ass burn
outside.
We'll
edit this later.
There is no edit this later. So if you stumble or you push the wrong button, that's what's going to show up there. Right. Everybody's going to see it. And so I'm backstage and I'm just like, and I had made the choice that instead of wearing the khaki pants or the jeans or the blue button down or whatever, I was just going to wear what made me feel fabulous. You know, like, and that was a hard choice too, because it was giving body.
Right.
Oh, I saw. Okay, it's tight pink dress. Right. Like it was giving body.
Right.
And who else was going to be out there like that with ass all outside?
Nobody.
That was not going to be happening. Okay.
No.
And yes, I wore my hair in my, you know, curly afro. I decided not to straighten it that day. It was just, first of all, there was too much going on. I was like, nope, I'm just going to let
gonna
it be.
It's not going to happen anyway.
Okay.
Right.
Because who wants to have a piece of straight hair that's just like misbehaving, because that's not its natural state anyway.
Right.
So I was like, let me just do one less thing that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also decided I wanted to play music that meant something to me, you know, versus going with the thing that's like, oh, mass audiences will like pop, or they'll like the, you know, like country music. I should play that. No, because I was just like, I need to feel it in my spirit. I need to feel it. And so, yes, I played Rapper's Delight, which is the original.
Yes,
you know, that set the tone for me. And I asked them to rap, and they were not rapping with me, but I was rapping to myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I played a song by an artist named Leaf, who was like one of my really best friend's daughter, who's a new artist. And I was like, I want to give her some love.
Right.
And then I played some Ghanaian music to close it off. Because I was like, you don't even know what Afrobeats is. By the way, we didn't even call it Afrobeats then. It was still called Hip Life.
Oh,
anyways, okay, I'm going to play some Hip Life and close it out with my people.
Yes.
And that's what I did. That's, and that shit won.
Right. You know why? Because I think people can see through, like, had it been, say, the other guy or somebody.
Yeah.
Sure, the product will eventually sell itself and all those things. But
the
way you make a splash is, like, by making a connection. And you weren't going to make a connection dressed the way you thought they would dress. You weren't going to make a connection speaking the way they already do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
You know, as I'm sure as nervous and crazy, and you're like, should I?
Yeah.
That needed to happen.
Yes.
And that needed to happen in that moment.
Yes.
And you made that decision. I mean.
Yes. But Marsha, here's the thing is that, like, I think so many of us, and look, I don't fault anybody for it at all.
No, that's.
Which is that you are in a scary situation and you go with the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
It is the safer thing to do.
For sure.
It is the easier thing to do. And I don't even blame anybody for doing that.
No.
But sometimes, somebody.
On this day, though.
On this day.
It was coming.
The universe opened up and was like, Bose, this is it. This is your day.
Now, had you picked the dress out before? Did it?
No.
A lot of my things come last minute.
You already know.
Yeah.
Because we are twins.
Yes.
You already know.
Yeah.
I had not picked it out.
Right.
I had lots of things that I... You know, it was up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so I was living in LA. So I just packed my bag full of all kinds of things.
Didn't know what was in the bag.
Didn't know what was in the bag. Just a whole bunch of stuff. was trying on stuff up until the very last minute. I was like, ooh, this one? Ooh. There was actually this black leather thing that I almost wore.
Yeah.
That would have killed them.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But the only reason I didn't wear it is because it was so short that I was like, yo, they're going to see my ass from the front row because the stage is high. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to distract them that much.
Right.
You know, you want them to see it, but damn, not like see it. Right, you know what I mean? Right. That's the only reason I didn't wear that one.
Right.
But I would have. I would have been up there in black leather.
Yeah.
Huh. Then what would have happened?
Right. But then, so then this pink coral gorgeousness.
Yes. My good friend Mimi Plange, also Ghanaian designer. And it was wonderful. It was that moment. You know, it was our moment. It was a fashion moment too, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was like, who's thinking fashion?
Right.
When you're presenting tech.
Right.
Who else is doing that?
No, you.
Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah. And then I had my little Louboutins on with the little puff on the back. Oh, just look, what? I was fly. I was cute.
Right.
You couldn't tell me nothing.
And after that, no way.
What?
Right?
Yo, but so here's the other honest truth. I came off the stage and immediately threw up.
Oh.
Like on the side of the stage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it was just like all of adrenaline, everything like just came up. And then I remember the head of communications rushing over and being like, Bose, oh my God. And I thought I was done. I thought I was in trouble because everyone had warned me that the audience wouldn't connect with me and that it would be. And no, these were real words. Like, you know, so we're going to have to do some damage control. We'll have to see. And
before you went on, you heard these things?
Yes, before I went on. And so I just thought, okay, here it comes. Like, let's see, what are they calling me? You know, what names? Because I've been called every name. So let's just see what Twitter said. And then it was like, superstar!
Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy shit, really?
Well, I think of you like as a supernova, superhero. Anything super is going to follow along with you.
I'm with it. Thank you.
You know, so yeah, so now you have Apple and you've done the top of the top.
Top of the top.
And what comes after?
Well, I mean, I feel like this must happen to, you know, people who like find that moment in the sun where it's like all of a sudden everybody's coming for you.
Right.
You know, everybody's like, people have this and then do this offer and that. I feel like it's like a movie. You know that movie when that person gets a break and then it's like the agent is calling
and then everything kind of changes.
And it's like everything, and then they're like over here and then the makeup artists are everywhere. You know what I mean? It was like that for me. And it was very odd because it was like being thrust into a spotlight that I didn't even know existed for me.
Right.
You know, like I was like, wait, no, I've just been doing my work. And it's actually been really good. I don't know if you know that. Like, it's been really dope work. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, but you're like a personality. And I was like, from where? Because I've been had this personality. I don't know where you thought this came from because I had it. Y'all just weren't paying attention.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was so grateful. I remember this one headline. I wish I could remember the journalist, but the headline was the one I was just like, yeah, exactly. She said, you know, Bose St. John was cooler before Apple. And I was like, exactly. Tell him. Tell him. I was. You know what I mean? Like, this didn't make me.
Right.
But that's the thing. That's been the shock, I think, of my career is that everybody thinks they make you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to take credit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't want to take responsibility for your scars.
Right.
But they'll take credit for your successes.
You know what? That just brought me back. I was explaining to Bose earlier about a friend that I had that I was in a car accident and, you know, and I explained how the strength of her spirit and how she came back.
Yes.
And recently I hit her up and you know, maybe like the last thing she wants to deal with is her Instagram getting hacked, you know, and she's, you know, she's dealing with so much. She's dealing with the decision to amputate her leg in this very moment.
Yes.
And I texted her, and when I got back, you know, I thought it was gonna be like, oh, I already know, honey. And then she said, oh, I already wrote them. And what I said is, oh, that's fine, you can take my Instagram, but if you're gonna take my Instagram, take my scars and take everything about me that comes with it. And I said,
Oh, shoot.
I said, oh, she was mad.
Yes, you know, this mad, is like, mad.
You're going to take something from me? What else?
You know, what
at
else?
At this point.
Take it all then.
Take it all then. And so like when someone's like, I helped you, you weren't here because of me or something like that.
Yes.
They're like, oh, really? Because I could have sworn I was crying alone.
Look.
You know?
You weren't here
right.
to catch those tears,
right?
Huh?
You know, right. Maybe you were there for that one, That's not even part of the...
That's not the whole story.
In even, yeah, no, your journey.
No, I talk about it all the time with, like, you know, the glamour of, like, shattering the glass ceiling, mm-hmm. right? So people want to attribute that to me, too, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you're just out here just shattering
yeah.
and doing this and doing that. And I'm like, yeah, but have you actually thought about what that means? Because think about when you break glass, what happens?
You usually get...
Cut.
Yeah.
You bleed.
Right.
The scar's over.
If it's shattering from the top.
Look, you over here getting facial
right.
lacerations.
Right.
Okay, I'm out here, like, you think I look pretty. There's all kind of lacerations
right.
going on.
Right.
And so it's painful.
Right.
And you have to heal from that. And you have to figure out how to not be afraid of the next ceiling. Mm-hmm. Because don't think that you shattered one and that there's not more.
And then you just walk into an open house.
Look, that's right. a whole myth.
Wow.
You think there's
the
one
ceiling
glass
comes
ceiling?
Back the next morning.
Honey, let me tell you.
Yes.
There's more than one glass ceiling. All right?
She
and it's not even that
right.
far.
Yeah.
Look. Okay? You crack one and then your head hits up against the next one.
Right.
That's
immediately.
What happens. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be over here patting yourself on the back thinking you crashed through. No, honey, there are more. And so you better get your armor together.
Yeah, well, that's what I said it earlier. Like,
yeah.
with one of these things that I read off, sometimes that's someone's only lifetime to get there. You have so many things that you've reached that, like I said, not even a regular person, someone that has all the drive and all the things would only get to this one point, if they're lucky. Mm. I mean, you can see these positions.
Mm.
You're not going to get to them.
Right.
Like, you're just not. Mm. You know, and unless you really know that that's, you're going to struggle
yeah.
and all the things are going to happen with it. But you've gone yeah. here, 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 and here. Now, in which each of those jobs, I'm sure you're the minority inside the room.
Yeah. It's by far.
All men, all
yes.
the time.
All the time.
You know, because for yeah. a long time, you know, I'm a partner in a hospitality group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's predominantly nightclubs and all the things are mainly run by straight male
yeah, yeah, yeah.
men.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my meetings go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that I have partners, and I say that it's lightning in a bottle to get this kind of support, because already when you're fighting for every day, fighting to be yourself every day, wearing the things you want to wear, that maybe someone's like, you know, I've gotten into Ubers and they're like, so what's going on with you? Or why are you dressed like that? Or you're a cross dresser, right?
Right.
I'm all, what?
You're like, what?
Like, you know, so immediately when I'm getting into a car, there's.
Yeah. You
something
ready.
So when I get to work, I don't know how I would have taken it had it been opposite. And I say the lightning in the bottle thing is because I have two beautiful partners and a whole team of people that champion me,
yes,
make me feel like a princess.
Ooh.
You know, when I walk in the room, they say, how are you beautiful?
Right.
What can we get you right away?
Look.
You know, and so, and I'll mess with them. And when I walk into like board meetings or something like that, I say, it's game on. You know, I'm trying to like immediately get into the groove. And they're like, my friend loves going, is the game on? Are there things that you feel like you've done, or like, what's that like walking into these rooms? Because it's not easy.
No.
No. And that's like, you know, and you're at that position where you would think it's easy. Like, she's done it all. She's been at the high top of everything.
Yes. Now,
so
that is the key.
You coming into a room with all those things.
Yes.
And still someone might want to question you.
Mm.
Or.
Yeah. Still might want to.
Maybe even not with a word, or even not with, you know, a gesture. You just feel their energy. Because that is very real.
Yes.
So when someone is like, I don't want to be around this person. I don't feel this person. Mm-hmm. You could feel that in a room.
Yes.
Even if it's just one person, even if you're surrounded by all your best friends and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Look, it hasn't been, I wish I could say that it's been a far jump from the cashier.
Right.
Who looked at me like I was the stupidest person on the planet.
Right.
Even with the accolades.
Right.
Even being named number one on Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
People will still look at me. Crowned. Thank
Crowned.
You. Yes.
You know, we got royalty in the
That's
house.
That's correct. I'm number one, baby.
Yeah.
No, but still.
But yeah.
You know, still people will just dismiss my opinion. Loudly, by the way. It's not like subdued or like some sort of like, microaggression. I was thinking the other day, people were like, oh, these microaggressions. I was like, what microaggression?
They're loud and clear.
Russian aggression.
Yes.
Like, it's a macro.
You came for me.
I don't know what micro you're talking about. Yeah. I feel it. I see it. They say it.
Micro be like, I didn't see it and I didn't hear it. But maybe someone else felt it.
Yeah, maybe nobody else saw it. And like, do you understand that this thing happened? And I'm like, no. Everybody heard it. Everybody hears it. I had a boss once, you know, who will remain unnamed for now, but who would often say when I would walk in, because, you know, I like my hair. Mm-hmm. I like doing different things. And look, I'm a black girl. I like to, like, look, I show up an afro one day, straight the next day, down to my knees, like Naomi, another day, braids.
Purple one day.
Look, okay, I might shave it off. I'll do whatever I want to do, you know?
Exactly.
This is the beauty of having this.
Right.
And he says constantly to me, in front of other people, oh, I know what kind of day we're going to have when Bo shows up with straight hair. Or she shows up with that afro. Or she shows up with the braids. We just know exactly what this day is going to be like.
Me?
Oh, yeah. But he would say it like funny, like as if it was supposed to be a joke.
It's not.
And I'm like, who? What? No, you should know that every day I come in here, I'm brilliant.
Right.
That's what you should know.
Don't matter
every
what
every day
this
I come around is. Here, I'm running circles around you.
Right.
Every day I come in here, I've overcome more than you will ever see or know or think in your life.
Mm.
Every day I come in here, I've overcome more than you will ever accomplish in your days. Wow. Every day, we remember that. And it's easy for people to forget.
Yes.
That, like, when you walk in, that's what comes without even asking for it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, no, yes, true. Of course, I walk into a room and, yeah, of course I get the look. And the, like, looking around me to see who else is coming. Am I the right person?
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know how many client meetings or business meetings I've been in where I've walked in and they're just like, you're the CMO?
Right.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people have gotten shocked. You have no idea of the, they might say something. It's happened in my own restaurants. You know, they've, you know, said something or come at me with an attitude of like, who are you? And I'll sometimes won't even say a word because I don't even need you to know who I am. Why now waste my energy? Like, for all you need to know, I work down the street at You Wash Doggy.
Look.
And I wash all the dogs.
Okay, all of them. And I wash them better than you.
Right.
So
that's all you need to know about that. But sometimes a friend will go, well, like, you know, that's one of the owners. And they'll be like,
right.
Oh, now you're going to be nice to me.
Oh, yes.
And I don't need it. I don't even need it now.
Of course. But you know what else I think is funny? Something else that is like so counterintuitive is that somehow people think that because you become more successful or that, you know, you are the one of the owners or that you're in the C-suite, that somehow becomes easier to then do the thing. It doesn't become easier.
The load gets larger, by
Hell
the way.
Yeah.
It's a heavier...
Yes!
The purse might be nicer, but it's
Look,
heavier.
There are really more bricks in it.
Yeah, there's
and
more
by
bricks
the way,
in
other
it.
People have tied their purses to your purse. And now you're walking out here with this look like
very
the bag
true.
Lady.
I got you the chills on that one because that is the truth.
You are the bag lady carrying everybody's purses with you.
Right.
Okay? Because everybody has hung their expectations on your success, on your achievement. Now they think, oh, well, now you represent us.
Right.
And so therefore, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't be this and you shouldn't be that. Because they've hung their expectations on you. You didn't even ask for it.
No.
I didn't
answer
all
opinion.
That. Oh, everybody's got an opinion. So yes, it's like, look, as soon as I became more noticed, you know, more public, and my career was expanding and I was becoming more visible, all of a sudden, you know, people are like, oh, don't you think you should be a little more conservative in the way that you are? Don't
louder.
You think you should say things that are a little more mainstream and not so edgy? Don't you think you should curse less? No, I curse like a motherfucker.
And you should.
It's poetry.
Yes.
Okay. And the thing is
the way
like,
when I'm going to say it, it's going to mean something along with what I'm going with.
All of that.
Right.
And you can also check the receipts because I also actually do the work. So yes. But the truth of the matter is that like, if you don't show up, you know, in the way that you are, it becomes even harder.
Totally.
It becomes harder.
On your soul, one.
Oh,
why take that home
on your whole
and
spirit.
Do all of those things?
Yes. And then also it's like the weight of that just continues to crush you.
Yeah. I have this quote in my head since last night and it's Will Smith wrote in his book. And I really just wanted to say it here loudly because it spoke to me. It's when people love an underdog, right? Mm-hmm. So all the people that one wished for you to fail, and even all the times, because I failed a lot. Mm-hmm. Like as the company, you know, we have folded. I've gone away for 3 years. Then we all came back together. When you fail, all those people, the one that didn't like you, are like, even in the littlest way, even if it's the way they didn't even like you, they're like, told you so.
Yes.
You know, and we're like, that has nothing to do with what's going on here.
Like, what are you talking about?
And then he goes, but if you have, if you are maybe, I don't even know if he said unlucky. Maybe he didn't say that. Maybe he meant unlucky because the burden of if you are up for a very long time without a fall for a moment, get your helmet on. Because that's when it really comes. Because they love an underdog. So once you come back up after the thing, people are like, oh, good for you.
Yes, you're back.
But good
again.
For me. I was going to come back.
Right.
Right.
The surprise.
But as you're continuing to go up and success after success, that's when the real things, people try to damage you.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And that really spoke to me because I'm like, yes. And, you know, that just helps me keep my armor on.
Yes, yes.
To walk into these rooms, to walk into restaurants, you know.
Constantly.
To be myself. We, you and I,
are
the type of people that need to be ourselves.
Oh.
Else it's not going to work.
No. You know? I don't even know how else to be, honestly.
Yeah. You know? No, that's it, actually.
Yeah, that's actually it.
Yeah.
And some of it is born out of, the experience of like having to not be, you know, and feeling so stuck.
Yeah.
And in fact, when I was, I learned this actually very early in my career, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, the failure of trying to fit in and then failing at that came early for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just did. Like I was sitting in that review at work and being told that I was, you know, too passionate and it looked like aggression and, you know, my outfits weren't appropriate and shouldn't I not wear my red nails and the red lipstick because it just looked too bold and a little bit like, you know, unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And could I keep the stories about my experiences to a minimum because it didn't translate across to a mass audience?
No, I understand.
And all of the things. And look, I'll tell you again, I could pretend to, you know, like say bump it and like, oh, I went home and I threw on the like sequins outfit and came in. No, that's not what happened.
Right.
I went home and I bought a bunch of gray suits.
Right.
And I tied my hair back and I would lower my voice when I spoke. And I tried not to confront people in meetings when they had stupid ass ideas.
Right.
And I would try to sell my idea. Yeah, I'll try to sell my idea to the next person and see if they could sell it in for me. So that then at least my voice could be heard, even if it wasn't mine directly.
Right.
I did all of those things. And the following year, guess what happened? I got the same fucking feedback.
Boom.
Same feedback. Still too aggressive.
No. So still it was never, ever going to be.
It was never about the things.
So it's done on that.
So yeah, I went home. I cried because I was just like, man, like I want to succeed at this. I want to be the CMO someday.
Yeah.
And they're telling me that I can't do it. So I was like, then I won't do it. And I laid there and I was like, then it's not gonna happen. And yes, then I woke up and put on the frilly blouse and went to work because I was just like, well, if this gray suit is not gonna work, then who cares what I wear?
Exactly.
If you're not gonna promote me, then who cares? Like, right? I don't care. And I came into the office and I was walking around, you know, people staring and, oh, Bose, what happened to you? Oh my God, that's an interesting choice today. And I was like, all right, well, whatever. Because
wait till tomorrow.
Okay, you're gonna love that.
Right.
Okay? Wait till we're the leper.
Now, from now on, I got a whole closet of things I have worn.
And I was like, well, because it was really my attitude that I was just like, well, who cares? Like, if I'm never gonna be promoted, then why try?
Yeah.
And I know it sounds so defeatist, but it was where I found like my strength.
Right.
Because I was just like, well, then I'm just gonna say. And so in meetings, then I was just like, oh. Y'all gonna talk about me in the break room anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna go ahead and say what I'm gonna say.
Right.
And you know what? That idea was stupid. Let me tell you why. Okay? And also, this is better. And it'll connect better to people because X, Y, and Z thing. If you don't believe me, fine. Go ahead and do what you're doing. But I'm telling you right now, this is what's gonna work.
I've already seen that.
And because I was up at, you know, with the people, I was at the club and this was what was happening. Because I am gonna tell you about my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's gonna connect. But I'm gonna tell you anyway. And I just, it was just like, I just had zero fucks to give. And the most miraculous thing is what happened, which after is that all of a sudden, people were like, oh, you know, Bo, she's just, you know, she's on the cutting edge. You know, she's one of the cool kids. Uh-huh. Yeah, do you see what she wears? Got some fashion.
Right.
And oh, yes, she went out. So
it was a shock to everyone else.
Oh, it was a shock. And I was just like, but was not doing this? Right, and y'all were telling me that I was the worst?
Right.
But the thing, the difficult part in that freedom was that it also opened my eyes to the fact that no one would ever promote me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to promote myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even that failure, right? And it is why then I was like, oh, okay, I see. So I'm going to be here for a few years. And then when y'all decide that I've hit the ceiling of where I'm going to be, because you're not going to promote me anymore, I'm going to leave and I'm going to promote myself.
Right, boom.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that became my strategy. And so now people looking back, it's like, oh, you know, you job hopped and it's been like so many things you've been. And I was just like, but did you see my resume though?
Right. Really look at it.
Do you see this though?
And job hop. Look. Did you see the hops?
Did you see the hops?
Right.
They were the hops get a jump.
Right.
Okay. I was out here an Olympic athlete.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
In jumping.
And that's what it is really like. You know, when you're really getting to that top level, you're at Olympic athlete status.
Yes, yes, yes.
With the ongoing, you know, meeting after meeting, people after people,
all the things. And doing the work.
Yes, and doing the work.
Doing the work. It's like, look, the accolades don't come because you are mediocre.
No.
The accolades come because I am better than everybody
else.
And
you did all of that.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to recognize that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, somebody is going to say, you don't cut the standard for what we are looking for.
Right.
Well, you know what? Fine. That's okay.
It's okay.
I might try to fit into the thing that you think I should be, but if it doesn't fit, then I'm going to just give up and go do the thing that
I know
works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the miracle is that freedom gets repaid in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, because you were born this beautiful, this brilliant, this different, this unique. And so why would you repay the universe with your simplicity?
Hiding it. I think about that all the time.
Why?
That we're given this moment, right?
Yes.
And it's just a moment.
Yes.
In the long scheme of even history, thousands of years, we're grains of salt.
Mm.
So why don't you make that grain of salt a little shinier?
Glitter, baby.
Yeah, glitter. You're not going to be a grain of salt. You're going to be a glitter in this flash, okay? And you're going to help that light beam out.
Yes,
that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. We're going to live a life of glitter.
Yes, and that is it.
That's it.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming and sitting with me. I need you back
because
I think we have so much to talk about.
I know. And I could look in your eyes forever.
I could look in your eyes forever.
I swear. I mean, it's so fabulous.
I had to stop myself for 2 seconds because I forgot how long we'd been like this.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, because we weren't paying attention.
And I saw, like a hand go up and I was like, oh.
Oh.
We're in this.
I know. We were so deep though. But I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Like, and this was good for my soul,
mm-hmm,
for my spirit.
Same. I knew it.
I appreciate it.
Like,
thank
I knew
you
all day
for
today.
For asking me.
No,
really,
I'm so happy.
I really
you said
appreciate
yes.
it so much.
Yeah, I appreciate this. Part 2.
I know, right? Part 2.
This podcast is brought to you by Vocal Podcast Network. Executive producers are Michaela Simon and Marsha Molinari. Produced by Yonta Taiwo and Morgan McDonald. Shooting and editing by Morgan McDonald. Music by Aaron Reese. Artwork by Dominic Demetz and hosted by Marsha Molinari. Remember to follow at Marsha Molinari and at Vocal Podcasts Everywhere. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.